The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Monday, 18th day of May, 2020. 97 degrees under sunny skies, no chemtrails in central Texas. How long do you think the coronavirus, that's right, Mike, I said coronavirus, would last in this environment? Answer that question, not long, not long. And this track and trace stuff, we have a Austin mayor that seems to think this is a pretty good idea. And Governor Abbott told him, he said, this is not a good idea. You are going against the intent of the Constitution and people's privacies. You can't do that. Well, the city mayor just rebuked the governor and says, I'm going to do what I want to do. At one point, intentionally breaking the oath to the Constitution, how does that merit you staying in your office? At what point is enough enough? Jeremy in Kentucky. Hello, Jeremy. How you doing?
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call. It's an honor to speak with you, and I really appreciate RBN being a platform of free speech.
We try. And in a world of deceit and a lot of lies, we try.
You succeed, my friend, and it's been an honor, too, to co-host with Patrick Slattery on the National Bugle. I help him out a couple of times a week. But what I wanted to call about was, what can we do, you know, to fight this? One thing that we've been doing here in West Kentucky, gotten together with my pastor, other pastors in the area, and we've spoken with the county attorney, with the sheriffs, and local police officers in the city. Now, this may only work in the rural areas. You may not have a lot of luck with this in the big cities, but we kind of get on the same page with these people because, you know, the sheriffs and the police officers in the small towns, they're going to be enforcing these things. And, you know, a lot of them want to go to church, too. They want life to be normal. They don't want this.
Yeah.
And if you're all on the same page, like we've been holding in-person meetings at church for weeks now. And, you know, we've been trying to keep it low on the down low.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when the sheriff or the state trooper rolls by the church out in the country and they see some cars, they know what's up because everybody's on the same page. And that's kind of why I called.
Jeremy, are they just driving by and observing and not stopping?
They're not stopping.
Good. Good.
Now, this may not be everywhere, and this is probably going to be very difficult for our listeners in the bigger cities, but we've got to start fighting this, and I think rural America may lead the fight on this. And that's what I wanted to suggest to the listeners is, to the extent that you can, get with your pastors, because pastors hold a huge influence. And if you're going to be arrested, you're going to be drugged before the county attorney in most cases.
Yep.
And if they're on the same page, then it's going to go well for you. And that's what I wanted to say.
Well, I appreciate the call, Jeremy, and thank you for the contribution to the network.
Thank you, sir. And let's keep free speech going. Go to that RBN page and smash that donate button, people.
and keep mashing it. We need the funds. All right, Jeremy, thanks again.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Well, look who shows up on my radar scope today. Tom Landry. Oh, no, that was the Dallas Cowboy coach, wasn't it? He's dead. Hello, Roger.
Hello. How are you?
Did you hear the interview?
No. What I heard was a little bit of the explanation after the fact.
Okay.
And I'm not going to take up much of your time because I know that you do great with callers, and I really, really want that to continue. I just want to stick 2 cents worth in here. What most people don't understand in this country is that the police force is the first level of corruption. I'm not telling you all police forces are corrupt. They're not. And I'm not telling you that the corrupt police forces even are aware that they are, in most cases, especially the lower ranks. The very simple thing here is if you look at New York City, if you look at Los Angeles, if you look at San Francisco or any big city, take a look at the police chief. Take a look at the lockstep with the political party that holds the reins of power. Take a look at suggestions. Take a look at. So when we talk about what a policeman can and can't do, we all have to remember that in the real world, they are under restrictions. They must do what they sign up to do, and if that is to obey the orders of their commander, they, in fact, must do that unless they're willing to do what Greg did and step up and say, you know what, I realize this is my job and this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but that's outside the realm of my constitutional responsibilities. Your last caller, I want to give him a big pat on the back. It is absolutely 100% true. Listen to what he said. It is 100% true that whatever happens in this country, it will be led from rural America. It will start there. It will have its successes there, and that's what will allow it to explode into the cities and across America. Most of your freedom-related movements start in a rural part of any country or any state or any county. These are the people who feel freer to think. They don't have the pressure of life you have in a big city. Neither do their police forces. You're going to find that the constitutional police on a whole will be in the rural areas or will be the sheriffs or the assistant sheriffs or the officers who work for the sheriffs. These are the individuals who don't, again, have the pressures or the political tend of a big city. Give these police officers all the credit you can give them for the very simple fact they've got a family to feed, but each and every one of them has a conscience. There needs to be a point at time where they decide, this is done, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Well, just look at the reauthorization here. God,
yep.
Yeah. And there were provisions that were in that bill to protect people from the snooping and pooping of the government, and those were thrown out, and we got another 5 years of this horrendous crap. That in all likelihood, and I wasn't even able to get around with this guy about the new red gun laws, that they decided that they want to skip the Fourth Amendment proceedings here. And,
I really wanted to hear that show. I'm sorry I didn't get.
Well,
to,
no, you didn't miss. No, you didn't miss much because what you missed was a guy that makes his living off of defending cops. And as I said, everybody has the right of defense. That's the cornerstone of our justice system in this country. But he was not willing to admit that there's bad things that cops do, and I was going to roll around to, well, you know, it's the duty then of the police themselves to rid themselves of their problem officers, not cover for them. You know, you got this idea, and I even went after him on the issue, Roger, of, you know, where did this no-knock search warrant stuff come? Well, it came out of L.A., because they had a drug problem, they had a high crime problem, so let's just cut some corners here, let's just get a battering ram, bash in the door, storm. Anybody shoots at us, we're just going to shoot and kill everything. Well, that policy has been adopted across the country. Name me one city that doesn't even have a SWAT team. Hell, we got small town USA out there that has SWAT teams now.
Yeah, but hold on a second, because that's another whole scenario, and I apologize, just a short interrupt here. What we're looking at, and we have been looking at, and you've talked about this, is the militarization of the police over the last decade, with emphasis over the last 5 or 6 years. Okay, we have seen all of this extra equipment, this stuff that would normally be put in graveyards or whatever. This military equipment has been beefed up, cleaned up, and literally given to police forces across the country, including the SWAT gear, including the bulletproof gear. A lot of the militarization of the police has been done at the behest of a big government who said, if you want our money, this is what you're going to do for it.
Yeah. Oh, no. We're well aware of the arm twisting, but, you know, I gave him an opportunity. I made sure that he got the Greg Anderson video. And on the show, he was saying, you know, a lot of decisions are being made off of video clips that are 10, 15 seconds long. I made sure that the booking agent passed that video off to that attorney, and that was a 9-minute video, and he admitted he watched it, but he had no opinion on it. It was a lawyer defending his position versus a talk show host that just wanted to have a friendly conversation to see how the man thought, and that wasn't happening. Yep. That wasn't happening, so... At any rate.
Well, you need to understand he's protecting his livelihood. If he gets on here and he basically agrees with you that there's bad cops out there doing bad things all the time, and we really, really need to come down hard on them, then he is, in fact, going to put his reputation, because the majority of cops he may be helping are ones who need a lawyer because what they did isn't all that easily understood or automatically considered good.
Or you ask any defense attorney, you know, they got clients that'll roll into their office, drop a wad of bills on their desk, and they'll sing them a nice little song, and it's straight out of, I don't know, Alice in Wonderland. And the lawyer takes the case to defend his client to the best of his ability. But knowing, just with dealing with the guy, checking the reports, talking to the prosecutor, doing all this. He knows his client is a bag of monkey milk, you know? God, it's almighty.
I love it. Okay, I got my 2 cents worth in. I want you to be able to get back to your calls.
Thank you.
I just had to say something, and of course it's going to be on your show.
All right. Roger, thanks, man.
Talk to you later.
Okay, take care. Robert in Texas. Hello, Robert.
Hey, John.
Hey.
Hey, I could tell that guy was a company man from the time you started the interview.
Well, it's his own company. You know, I mean, come on.
I know what I mean, company as far as the police. Yeah, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But what gets me is he was so nonchalant about when you ask him about these no-knock raids and people getting killed going to the wrong address.
Right.
And when I got people in my chair, I get this red state, blue state stuff, and they'll say stuff like that. And I say, well, when you go home today, when your house is blowing up, just like if we're in Afghanistan or wherever, and you're going to not be mad, oh, that's just the fortunes of war. It's just nonchalant. It really drives me insane.
Well, and law enforcement has changed, and through the perception, through the eyes of the citizenry out there, you know, it's getting to the point right now that the people that used to say, oh, I don't care, you can look in my house, you can look in my car, I don't have anything to hide. Even these people are starting to get a little jittery and nervous when cops show up. You know, I don't...
Oh, I would, too.
Yeah, well...
I would,
but,
too.
But, you know, they took an oath to the Constitution, so why are you out there violating it?
I got you. And another thing I would have loved to ask him, since he's from Georgia, is about the little kid a few years ago that found a grenade in his crib that got all burnt up. What did he think about that? Did he protect that officer? Hmm. These guys should have to.
They need to be
prosecuted.
Held. They need to be held.
There you go.
To
That's
a higher,
what I meant to say.
To a higher standard than the normal run of the mill person out there. Yeah.
And they need to be able to be prosecuted and not hide behind that shield. You know, it's like Vince Finelli said one morning. That shield means something. It's something to cover you up.
Well, and yeah, over your heart. I don't know if they're bulletproof or not, but it's over their heart.
The hide behind is what I'm saying.
Well, and you know, I don't want to cast this wide net, because I've known a lot of cops in my life, and many of them are very decent people. that would never, ever, ever think about getting in a situation and, say, trying to lie their way out? You know, time after time, cops show up in court as a witness, and they will sit there and lie right through their teeth. And the judge will believe whatever that cop's saying over that citizen because, well, why? Well, because he's law enforcement. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, and what fascinates me, Robert, is their inability to clean their own house. This is, and this has been going on for years. Officer Jack McLam, why did he quit? Well, he didn't like what the Phoenix PD was doing, and he let them know.
Yeah.
Well,
they themselves,
the Phoenix, couple of Phoenix PD guys, tried to set him up to get him killed. Now, are we saying these cops are good? Look, the only thing we want is the law equally applied to everybody. But it's that constitutional limited republic law. Not the policy, not the, okay, your chief tells you to do this, and don't worry, if you screw up, we got your back. Well, if you screw up, the screw-ups I'm talking about is not property damage. I'm talking about loss of life. That's important.
I'm with you. I totally agree. Thanks, John. I'll be listening. I don't want to take up too much time. I'm sure other people's wanting to chime in on this, too.
Okay, well, I got to get around to some news, so thank you, Robert. I appreciate it. Oh, God. How much longer must this circus continue? You know, if this guy was more amicable, I wanted to go into the culturally deficient. And but no, I guess we couldn't go there. Well, it's a little fuzzy as to what the unemployment rate now is in the country. So... Here's 10 numbers that show the U.S. has fallen into a horrifying economic depression. The last recession was really, really bad. But it wasn't like this. It's time for us to face reality, and that means admitting that the U.S. economy has plunged into a depression. This is already the worst economic downturn that America has experienced since the Great Depression of the 1930s. And we are right in the middle of the largest spike in unemployment in all of U.S. history, by a wide margin. Of course, it was fear of COVID-19 that burst our economic bubble, and the fear of this virus going to be with us for a very, very long time to come. So we need to brace ourselves for an extended economic crisis. And at this point, even Time magazine is openly referring to this new downturn as an economic depression. Well, thank you. Gosh. I think they were afraid of Time magazine. If they told the truth, their tongues would fall off. Needless to say, there was a tremendous amount of debate about how deep it will eventually become. But everybody should be able to agree that our country hasn't seen anything like this since before World War II. Let me give you 10 points here. Number one, according to a study that was just released by the National Bureau of Economic Research, more than 100,000 U.S. businesses have already permanently shut down during this pandemic. And that represents millions of jobs that are never coming back. Second point, the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta is now projecting that the U.S. GDP will shrink by 42.8% during the second quarter, of which we're in right now. Point three, this past Friday, we learned that U.S. retail sales were down 16.4% during the month of April, and that's an all-time record. By the way, there are more chain stores filing for bankruptcy. They were tedious to begin with. Now they're just over the edge. And I give you JCPenney. Yeah. Point four. U.S. factory output was down 13.7% last month, and that was the worst number ever recorded for that category. Point five, U.S. industrial production fell 11.2% last month, and that represented the worst number in 101 years. Factory versus industrial production, a little difference there. Let's take the break. We will be right back.
Okay, man. and took it all away.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens. Point six. On Thursday, we learned that the number of Americans that have filed initial claims for unemployment benefits during this pandemic has risen by another 2.9 million. And that brings the grand total for this entire crisis to 36.5 million. Now, to put that number in perspective, at the lowest point of the Great Depression of the 1930s, only about 15 million Americans were unemployed. Looking at the numbers, we were smaller back then, but it wasn't 15. It was damn near 32-33% of the employable people in this country that were thrown out of work. Due to what? Decisions the bankers made. Not you and I, but the banks. Number seven, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, the real rate of unemployment in the U.S. is now 30.7%. Well, that's nice of them. Point eight, according to a survey Fed officials just conducted, almost 40% of Americans with a household income of less than $40,000 a year say they have lost a job during this crisis. You know, what are these people to do that don't have a job, that are losing their businesses? Oh, we're going to put a moratorium, I guess. We're going to tell the mortgage companies, hey, you know, well, you need to give these people a break for at least the next 12 months. Well, what do you tell to a guy that owns an apartment building? And the people in that apartment building aren't able to pay their rent. Because as with any bureaucracy, folks, you know, people are waiting for their government check to help them, and they're still waiting. Yeah. Point nine. One study conducted that 42% of the job losses during this pandemic will end up being permanent. 42% of the job losses. So using their own numbers of the 36.5, we're talking about 17 plus million people that are not going to have a job. Once this new normal is over and we get back to more normal, without some cockeyed people telling us what we need to do to get through a flu season. Okay? Number 10. According to a professor of economics at Columbia University, the U.S. homeless population could rise by 45% by the end of this calendar year. Oh, you know what they're doing out in Seattle, by the way? Oh, well, they're going to raise taxes on people because they need money for the homeless. Huh? What? So the people that are losing their jobs, aren't allowed to work, they're going to raise the taxes on the people that can't earn an income. Wow. Now, here's some really bright thinking. Now, at this point, things are so bad that even the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, is openly admitting that he doesn't really know how long this new economic downturn will last. This economy will recover. We'll get through this. It may take a while. It may take an extended period of time. It could stretch through the end of next year, Powell said during a rare televised interview that aired on 60 Minutes Sunday. We really don't know. We hope that it will be shorter than that, but no one really knows. It's because everybody's sitting there pointing the fingers away from themselves. These governors are not taking the responsibility of shutting down their economies in their respective states. And based on what? Based on the blabbering bull that we have heard. That anybody with a modicum of, yeah, I can surf the internet and I can use the mouse on my computer, will find out. You know, today, folks, they said that 91,000 people died in America. And that was a report by John Hopkins and NBC. Well, John Hopkins is up to their eyeballs in this. I don't trust NBC any more than I could throw them, their entire organization. 91,000 people. And, of course, we caught them dead to rights, marking up COVID-19 deaths where it had nothing to do with their deaths. And stupid people like Cuomo are sending people with Corolla, I'll call it Corolla, virus to nursing homes, the very people that are at highest risk of dying. Seriously. In the months ahead, there are a few sectors that we'll want to keep a particularly close eye on, and one of them is the commercial real estate market. The following comes from Zero Hedge. Fast forward to today, coronavirus outbreak and the ensuing lockdown has essentially frozen the commercial real estate market. Buildings that were once used for restaurants, offices, hotels, spas, and or anything else that is classified non-essential have been soaring vacancies. This is single-handedly sending the commercial property market into chaos. As vacancy soars, tremendous downward pressure is being put on almost every asset class tied to commercial real estate. The latest TREP remittance data compiled by Morgan Stanley showed a quarter of all the commercial mortgage-backed securities could be on the verge of default. There's a lot that's on the verge of default in this country, ladies and gentlemen. Not to their doing, not their fault. But it's okay. We're all going to get through this together. You think so? Yeah.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
When it gets cold outside and you got nobody to love, you'll understand what I mean when I say there's no way we're gonna give up. Like a little crazy.
With nearly 4 million homeowners in some type of mortgage forbearance plan, representing 7.54% of all mortgages, delinquencies are set to eclipse the Great Recession, which peaked at about 10%. According to a new report from UK-based forecasting firm Oxford Economics, 15% of homeowners will fall behind on their monthly mortgage payments in a tidal wave of delinquencies. Now, and while the pace of requests for forbearance, new terminology. Stimulus legislation signed by President Donald Trump allows any borrower with a federally backed mortgage to request forbearance for up to 12 months, meaning the homeowner can skip or make reduced payments during that time. Given the risk mortgage companies are facing right now, guess what? Many lenders have imposed more stringent requirements for loan applicants. And this is all out of a system, folks. You're creating your own credit line to borrow the money that they created. Wow. What a deal. The uncertainty in the mortgage market has contributed to a significant tightening of lending standards that may persist even once a recovery is underway. Now, keep in mind that Oxford Economics forecast is half of the potential mortgage bloodbath predicted by Moody's chief economist Mark Zandi, who said that as many as 30% of Americans with home loans, or around 15 million households, may stop paying the U.S. economy if the U.S. economy remains closed through the summer or beyond. This is an unprecedented event. Susan Wachter, professor of real estate and finance at Wharton School of University of Pennsylvania, Donald Trump's tramping grounds, in comments last month, she also points out another way the current crisis is different from the 2008. She said the great financial crisis happened over a number of years. This is happening in a matter of months, a matter of weeks. Now, what's interesting, the states that are reporting the highest numbers of COVID-19 deaths, want to take a guess on this one, folks? They're all blue states. That's right. Well, that's a coinkydink. There's nothing to see. There's nothing to read into that. I personally think this governor of Michigan, she looks more like she's from a coven of witches than anything else. She doesn't have a clue. And she got some judge to say, what you're doing, governor, it's okay. While other states are taking this to their own state Supreme Courts, and the Supreme Courts are saying, nope, you can't do that. Somehow Michigan is a little bit different. I don't know. Governor Cuomo, jeez, this guy, holy mackerel. He's having COVID-19 patients sent to retiree homes, or really? But the numbers are being cooked, folks. And man, are they being cooked. Officially, according to NBC, 91,000 deaths. So you see, we've got to keep sheltering in place and taking these stringent measures, because look how many people died. It's probably not even a third of that, folks. And that's being generous. Ken in New York. Hello, Ken.
Hi, John.
Hi.
The figure you meant about people being out of work during this emergency, don't we add that to the, 75 million or so that have been out since 2008?
Oh, well, see, No. See, Ken, you got to learn the game here. What's happened in the past, what is past is not prologue. No, we don't build...
Oh, let's move on.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing to see here. I mean, this is, and I was thinking about that this morning, and I'm thinking, here we are with a lying media, and then we have nobody we can trust in the media reporting, and then we've got to wrap this whole thing in this tremendous COVID-19 lie and destroy what's left of this economy. And I'm with you, because, where did Sean Hannity get his 92 million Americans out of work? Because of the greatest ripoff ever witnessed by mankind by way of the bankers. Wow. So then we went to 3.5% unemployment?
It's the magic of numbers.
Liars figure and figures lie. Yeah, yeah.
I have a comment about your guest. He lost me when he started talking about ordinance and law being the same thing.
Yeah, he brought up that 14th Amendment, and that's just about the time I threw up my hands and I thought, I want to give the guy an opportunity. I know what he is. I know what he's doing. And everybody deserves, in this country, everybody deserves a defense. But when he's not willing to admit that, there's some bad cops out there doing bad things. come on. I just, no comment on the Greg Anderson, which, by the way, John or Ken, I wanted to bring this up, that there has been rumor going around that Greg Anderson he wasn't even a cop. He quit 3 years ago. And I admonished people that sent me that by way of my email, and I just simply ask him, what's wrong with you passing this around? You know, I get it that people are nervous about anything and everything, and they're questioning everything. I get it. But, oh, man, I just... But the lawyer wouldn't even comment on it. He watched that whole damn video. I know he did. He's talking to me about 10, 15 seconds you can't indict a cop on. Well, here's a 9-minute video saying exactly what this lawyer has been saying, but, you know, it was, you know, what are the cops to do here? I wanted a definitive out of him, and he's telling me, well, they took an oath to the Constitution. Yeah, but the boys in blue out there that you're willing to defend are not, they're doing extra constitutional stuff. And should it be the cop's duty to go, okay, well, let me get out my Constitution. Let me see if this is covered under. That ain't going to happen. This is their policy. These are their mandates their departments are putting on them. And it ain't right.
Well, you know, he's one of the club now, and if he doesn't behave himself, he could very well end up having his bar card pulled by a judge that doesn't like him. And if he can't be a policeman anymore, he can't be a lawyer, he's going to end up on the pasta vajoule line, you know, the soup line.
Yeah.
Well, they are the Praetorian Guard. Those in the police for the legal system.
Say that again?
The Praetorian Guard.
What about it?
I suggest that the police are the Praetorian Guard for the legal system. The cops don't want to see them go to jail. They don't want them punished.
Yeah, well, you know, it makes them look bad. And this is what, I mean, we have civilians that are out there trying to play watchdog on the police departments, because their internal investigations are more of a cover-up than they are anything else. And I, for one, will stand up and applaud a police officer if he's wrongly accused. Hey, the guy did his job. He did it to the best of his ability. Okay, great. But that's not what's going on in America. And this law enforcement, he keep pushing. You know, he's from Georgia. Well, down here, you know, it's peace officer. Well, that's just a word. That did it for me. Right then and there, I thought, you know what?
Enforcement. Yeah.
Bull.
I get tired of hearing that.
Bull. Just a word.
No. Good night, John.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Ken. I am. I just. Man, oh man, oh man. John Lott and Dr. Timothy Craig Allen did an op-ed via townhall.com. Now, these were numbers, obviously, from a couple days ago, because the story starts out, over 86,500 people have reportedly died in the United States from the coronavirus, and the fear generated by those deaths is driving the public policy debate. But that number is a dramatic overcount. Our metrics include deaths that have nothing to do with the virus. The problem is even worse, as the Centers for Disease Control overcounts even some of these cases, and the government has created financial incentives for this misreporting. Relying on these flawed numbers is destroying businesses and jobs and costing lives. Dr. Ngozi Ezeki, director of Illinois Department of Public Health, explains, the case definition is very simplistic. It means at the time of death, it was a COVID-positive diagnosis. That means that if you were in a hospice and had already been given a few weeks to live, and then you also were found to have COVID, that would be counted as a COVID death. It means technically, even if you died of clear alternative cause, but you had COVID at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID death. Medical examiners in Michigan use that same definition. In Macomb and Oakland counties, where most of the deaths occurred, medical examiners classify any deaths, as coronavirus.
when the postmortem test is positive. Even people who died in suicides and automobile accidents meet that definition. Classifications go way beyond even those broad categories. New York is classifying cases as coronavirus deaths even when postmortem tests have been negative. Despite negative tests, classifications are based on symptoms, even though the symptoms are often very similar to those of the seasonal flu. The CDC guidance explicitly acknowledges the uncertainty that doctors can face. When coronavirus cases are suspected, they advise doctors that it is acceptable to report COVID-19 on a death certificate. Why? Well, they're there to seek legitimacy, to maintain legitimacy. The Centers for Disease Control, they're there protecting the interest of you and I. Huh? No, it just seems to me like they want to stay relative and look at all these deaths. And gosh, you know, we're approaching 100,000 deaths in this country due to this virus. Bull, you're lying through your teeth. You know, on April 21st, when New York City's death toll rose above 10,000, the New York Times reported that the city included 3,700 additional people who were presumed to have died of the coronavirus but had never tested positive, a more than 50% increase in the number of cases. But the problem's worse than this broad definition implies. Dr. Birx and others believe that the CDC is overcounting cases. The Washington Post reports they are concerned that the CDC's antiquated accounting system is double-counting cases when inflating mortality and case counts by as much as 25%. I would say that it was much more than that. And then the states take up the slack, toe-tagging everything to get money. You know, this incentive, this has turned into an incentive program, hasn't it, for hospitals? Because they couldn't conduct normal business. They couldn't treat sick people. So they had to lock their hospitals down and get ready for the coronavirus rush that never happened. And then the incentive was put out there. Hey, you know, bring somebody in, put them on a ventilator. We'll give you $39,000. Don't you think for a minute these hospitals didn't go looking for anybody that had a little chest wheeze? Incentives matter. When the government increased the disability compensation for air traffic controllers, a lot more controllers suddenly started claiming to be disabled. When unemployment insurance payments increase, more people become unemployed and stay unemployed for longer periods. When the government offers flood insurance that charges everyone the same insurance premium regardless of the risk level in their area, more people build homes in frequently flooded areas. The Washington Post and others claim that the undercounting the true number of deaths. They reach the conclusion by showing that the total number of deaths from all causes is greater than we would normally expect from March through early May, and that this excess is actually due to deaths not being accurately labeled. You know, everybody else, even the flat-out liars out there, are starting to see and starting to speak a little bit truth here and there. But not to any degree. 91,000 dead Americans in this country, folks. By the way, Michigan is one of those blue states, along with California, New York. You know, you get the idea. You get the idea. I wish this damn governor, I wished Abbott would say, that's it. All restrictions are now lifted. Governor, it's 97 degrees down here. This is Texas. Let the people go. Let the stink get blowed off of them. You know, it was really remarkable to me that liquor stores were considered essential businesses. And then we find the people that have cabin fever that are drunked up, well, they're more inclined to do violent things to other family members. Gee, who would have saw that coming, huh? Well, Portland, God, they're to vote on a $2.5 billion homeless aid tax amid the COVID recovery. As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to bring the economy to a screeching halt, progressive cities dealing with large and growing homeless populations face increased pressure to provide assistance amid budget shortfalls and dwindling or delayed tax revenues. Businesses and households are racking up huge amounts of debt. You have people who aren't paying their rent and who are delaying their mortgages, according to Eric Fruits, a research director in the Cascade Policy Institute. Given this backdrop, voters in Portland, Oregon, will decide tomorrow to approve taxes on personal income and business profits, which would raise $2.5 billion over the next decade for the city's homeless initiatives, according to KATU. These people are absolutely insane. They're absolutely socialist-styled communist crazy. And I don't know about you folks, but we saw the influx from California. They've driven property prices through the roof. You got more rules and regulations and stuff on business, and there's a whole laundry list of thou shalt not do in California, and even the liberal asshats had enough of California, and they're moving to other states. I've seen it down here in Texas with my very own eyes. Now, according to KATU, this ballot measure was planned before the pandemic reduced the U.S. economy to tatters. Proponents, including many business leaders and major institutions, argue that taxes are needed now more than ever in a region that has been overwhelmed by its homeless problem. And why do you have a homeless problem? Rather than discovering the issues behind that homelessness, you just want to go out there and tax everybody to take care of them. Huh? It's not your job. That's not the function of government. But they've certainly made it that we're going to do whatever's necessary to protect our people, up to and including smashing the economies, costing people their business, their homes, their livelihoods, and maybe their very lives. But it's okay. We're here to help. This is how insane this is. By the way, just a little side note here. Really not happy with the way Fox News is carrying on, because it's now about the vaccines. It's about the vaccines. It's about the vaccines. Yeah. Why don't you people at Fox News, Why don't the people with a half of conscience over there just leave, go get another job someplace? Oh, I'm sorry, when the COVID-19 pandemic is over. And just leave it to the liberal sons of the owner of Fox News. Just go ahead and get it over with. Because you're getting worse and worse and worse. Who is it? Pam in Michigan. Well, okay, I was going to do another story here, but go ahead, Pam.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Okay. I feel like I'm in the Bolshevik Revolution, and it did me in too when he said, oh, it's just a word, then why do we have a whole legal dictionary?
I was hoping that this interview was going to go better, because I really wanted to garner an understanding of this guy and his position, and having somebody, you know, speak for the poor officers that are being charged with, you know, these egregious, stupid charges. And you know what? I was willing to give the guy an even break here and do a straight-up interview with him, but then I saw the slant. No.
Yep.
Sorry. Can't do it.
He showed his colors.
Yes, he did.
I don't know if you've ever seen Amazing Polly, but she has been doing some videos on medical mafia, and boy, she is tying some people all together. I would really like to see these people be held accountable for what they are doing to our, not just our country, our world. Are you aware of another one of these exercises, like the Event 201. It's called Clade X.
No.
There is a video of it, Clade X, and it was done in 2018. And they're using the same terminology as we're all hearing now. This was planned, most definitely.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
And if we had a half, Pam, if we had a halfway honest media, some of these stores.
And we don't.
No.
They're in on it.
Yeah, well, absolutely they are. Absolutely.
I'm so angry with all of this, I can hardly stand it. And Governor Whitless, she needs to be yanked right out of that, right out of Lansing.
Well, I don't know what the governor is saying when the Republicans are taking this issue to their state Supreme Courts and they're getting favorable rulings to drop all this nonsense. I don't know. Is she going to be the last of the Mohicans here? Is she going to wait till 49 other states open up before she does? I don't know how in the hell Michigan is ever going to recover.
They don't want us to recover, any of us. It's, I hate to say the Democrats, but these people are crazy. That's what I mean. I feel like I'm going through the Bolshevik Revolution all over again. Only we're living it.
Well,
it's amazing.
See, Pam, here's the problem when the citizenry does not hold our politicians to a standard, and that standard is the Constitution.
Right.
This is what happens. So here we got this monumental problem, and now this little festering sore has turned into a bleeding, gaping wound. And everybody's looking at everybody else and going, how do we stop this? Well, hell, it should have been stopped a long time ago. But us being the people that don't like to mix it up and make people feel too badly or their voices have been curtailed to the point you're not even allowed a political opinion on a social platform because you're either shadowed or just flat thrown off because, well, you're a hater. This.
When a long train of abuses, and here we go, here we are.
Yep.
A long train of abuses. Anyway, I know you're at the end of the program, and I'll let you go. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pam. I appreciate your call.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Houston, we got a problem. I don't know. Oh, by the way, the Lion Media is using Lansing, where people are showing up armed at the state capitol. Was anybody, Mike, did I miss something? Was anybody shot up there in Lansing? Do you know? I didn't see the story. If it would have happened, I'm sure I would have heard of it, and it would have been overblown. But yeah, people show up at Lansing to protest, and they take their arms because they're in support of the Constitution, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, Third Amendment, Fourth Amendment. You get any idea? And I think it's a show as well. I could be violent, but I'm not. I'm here for the Constitution. Steve Elkins will join me tomorrow. The birthday boy. Well, it's actually his wife. They were out there in the beaches of Florida, just having a sandbar kind of day. I'll rib him about that one tomorrow. Only he gets off for his birthday. Thanks for being here, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus? For a one-time donation to RBN of only $500. It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen.
You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.